Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Ascension Magic Radio Show. Today is Sunday, February 8th, 2015. My name is Ron Ike. I'm your host. You can refer to me as Ronnie, whichever you prefer. If you're new to the show, every Sunday I talk about different spiritual topics. Saturdays on the show, I do angel readings. You can call in and do an angel reading with me. Yesterday we talked about animals. This Saturday we're going to be talking, I'll be doing romance readings with you because it's going to be Valentine's Day, so that's exciting. Today's topic is sacred geometry. We're going to get into that in just a moment. A little bit about myself. I am an angel intuitive. I am a certified angel card reader, Reiki practitioner, teacher, healer, really a lifelong learner. My friends know that I get into a little bit of everything. So if you'd like to find out more about myself or if you want to receive a professional reading, you can visit my website. It's www.ascensionmagic.com. And there's also a Facebook link on there as well. So I invite you to click like. That'd be wonderful. So we're talking about sacred geometry. And before I get into the sacred geometry, because there's massive information about sacred geometry, I want to tell you that everything that I tell you today, you already know.
Say what?
Yes, you already know. Everything that everybody knows is there. Because how can you obtain knowledge if it wasn't there to begin with? Right? Every new idea that's yet to be uncovered is there just waiting. It's almost like everything in the universe is on this big, giant CD-ROM and has every possible reality there, every possible discovery is already there, just waiting for you to choose it. And every genius, from Einstein to Tesla and Edison, they've been in this state where they're out of their mind. Okay? Now, it doesn't mean your mind's useless. Your mind's a very powerful tool that'll help you to analyze and process information, but to really receive the flow from your higher self, you need to shift your perception to a new perspective. And I'm going to be talking to you in this show about using both sides of your brain, not just the analytical side. Our society right now is heavily analytical, and sacred geometry helps to bridge the gap between that analytical side of our brain, which is the left side of our brain, and then the creative and flowing side of our brain, which is the right side of our brain. You might also think of it as male energy and female energy. We're going to talk about that today as well. So both have a purpose, both balance each other out to create this sacred balance of energy. So what is sacred geometry? That might be your first question. And it's really hard to put it into one definition because it's so different depending upon what text you read. But the main idea, of course, the word sacred just speaks for itself, right? Sacred. Sacred meaning that it is fundamental to the world that we live in. We think of something as being sacred. We think of it as being having a major purpose, having this higher vibration. You know, sacred objects. Some people have sacred objects they believe are sacred, or there's sacred places on the planet that we can go to, certain cathedrals maybe, or certain places in nature might be sacred, okay? But sacred geometry is about the fundamental patterns and information and structure of the universe. We sometimes think that, you know, the universe is this chaotic randomness that just came out of nowhere, and that's true on one perspective, but underneath that chaotic energy is a rhythm, is a flow, is a structure that many of us refer to as sacred geometry. Some people refer to it as the language of light. You can call it the language of light. You might call it the language of spirit. It is a sacred thing that's been studied around the world. Every major culture has some type of processing of sacred geometry. They might not call it sacred geometry. For example, in some of the Middle Eastern cultures, if you look at their mandalas or the intricate patterns on their tapestries and on their tile floors and so on, the repeating patterns that you see are perhaps a subconscious way of activating that sacred geometry that's within us. The Great Pyramid, of course, is one major example of the use of sacred geometry. It could be one example. But if you look at the spiral of the galaxy, our Milky Way galaxy, there's a lot of research right now, and this is not just hokey-pokey, metaphysical New Age, whatever you want to call it. There's actual scientists, physicists, who are studying the structure of galaxies. And what they are finding is that the way the galaxy unfolds is the same pattern that happens within our human body, within the solar system, within atomic particles, from the macro to the micro. The same patterns repeat itself, and that gets into this word called fractals. And fractal is really a way to describe things that repeat from large to small. Infinite. If you study calculus, you'll know infinity is something that's been studied in depth. Infinity, what does infinity mean? Infinity is just a concept, because you can't count infinity. But yet, at the same time, you can say, okay, well, I'm going to call this amount here in this pile I have infinity. Well, then there's infinity plus one. But yet, that's still infinity. And then infinity plus two, but then you still have infinity. So it's sort of this, like, whoa, trippy, wrap your mind around kind of thing, because we think we're in an infinite universe, yet we're also within a finite space. So you have the balance between finite and infinite, male, female, you know, with dark and light and all these things that are really, really interesting. So sacred geometry, along with all the other things coming right now, is, you know, spiritually wise, all these new healing methods that are coming out and technology that's coming out is a part of the time period that we are in. There's so much information that's being bombarded at us, and it's growing exponentially. Okay, exponential, if you remember, you might remember, starts off really, really slow, and then it gets faster and faster and faster until it's so fast that a small increment of time creates a large amount of change. The rate of change is very quick within a small period of time. If you've seen computers in the past 20 years, a prime example of that, you know, computers, every year it seems like you have to buy another computer because they're just so, they're faster, they're cheaper, they're smaller, and it's growing exponentially. In science, they refer to this as Moore's Law, M-O-O-R-E, and it says basically that every two years, the processing speed will double. I could be wrong on that, but I know you get the idea. The idea is that we're growing at this exponential rate, not just within technology, but within all aspects of our world. Now, the sacred geometry is connecting us to the spiritual side so that we may open up and use this information in different ways. So I want to start off this conversation with sacred geometry about talking about something called the flower of life. Okay, now you may or may not have seen the flower of life. And I want to say too, if you're listening, whether you're listening live or you're listening on replay, I invite you to get a sheet of paper and a pencil and kind of write down what jumps into your head and what you might want to research later on. But I'm also going to be doing some mathematical exercises with you because, yes, I'm a math teacher. Oh, my gosh. You might hate math, but there's usefulness to it. If you have a calculator could be helpful for you as well, because we will do a little exercise later on. And, of course, you can pause this and come back to it at another time. So we'll be doing that later on. Also, on my website, ascensionmagic.com, when you go there and you click the resources link, there is a place for sacred geometry, and there are some images that I will be referring to today. So, if you miss it live, you can go back and replay this. But again, ascensionmagic.com, on the resources link, there's a sacred geometry section there that I'm still building, and we're going to be referring to that today. Okay, so flower of life, Well, of course, it has the word flower. It has the word life. So that might give you an idea if you're trying to, based on context alone, what it means. But there's so much more to it. Flower of life is actually have been found in every major culture from the dawn of time. And the interesting thing is that it has the same name. That's kind of cool. I think it's cool. Flower of life. And it's really a series of intersecting circles. If you go on the website, or you can even Google flower of life. If you go on my website, the very first image under sacred geometry is a flower of life pattern. And it's these six circles that are intersecting in certain ways so that it makes a flower pattern. And then it repeats itself, again, the fractalization, right? Repeating itself into this unfolding pattern of the flower of life. Now, what's really cool about this flower of life pattern is that it's been found to be literally like laser etched into the side of pyramids and ancient structures. You know, if you've seen some of these like ancient alien shows, I know some of those shows can be kind of out there, but there's truth in everything. We just have to find what the truth really is, right? And it's interesting though, like how did these patterns get etched, laser etched into the side of these buildings, and why, and what are they for, right? And this flower of life pattern, it's coming up again and again and again, and you may have seen it or read about it, but you can do some research and find out where else it will be in architecture and so on. I'm not going to get into that right now, but I just want to tell you about a little bit more about the flower of life. Okay, two of the names it can be translated to would be the language of silence or the language of light. In other words, it's the primal language of the universe, and all known information that exists can literally be pulled out of the flower of life, chakra system, the tree of life, the alphabet, languages, music, science. Everything is found in this pattern. I know it sounds a little bit hard to believe, but if you really study sacred geometry, you can find that it's there. Now, that's not to say, you can find anything if you want to find it there. And that may be true, but isn't it interesting that you can literally find every single known piece of information in the entire known universe in this one pattern? That's just something to ponder, something to think about. Okay? So where did this flower of life come from, and what does it mean? First of all, the flower of life, if you've seen it on some cultures, it's been truncated. It's been truncated because the flower of life, I want to say it has 64 circles in total, but it has been truncated down to a certain number of circles so that the information would not be abused. Say what? Again, one of these say whats, right? Again, if you're on the website and you look at the first image there, you're going to see the flower of life and you're going to see these blue circles that I drew in. Okay, those blue circles are going to mean something. We're going to talk about that in just a second. But if you truncate, by truncating I mean shrink, and get just a part of this flower of life pattern, you miss out on all the other circles. And that was done for a reason, because for some time, you know, we were in this dark age, and the information's always been there, the information's there, but humanity, our brains, our DNA is not quite at the place to process this information. But now we're accelerating so rapidly and integrating this so quickly that we're ready for this information. Okay? So here's where the flower of life comes from. Now, I want you to imagine that creation has not happened yet. Everything is darkness. We call it the void. There's nothing. It's kind of weird to think about, but just imagine that there's nothing. If you are the great spirit, we'll call you God, say you're God, and you're living in nothing, it's pretty boring, right? You have nothing to experience. There's nothing. You don't even know who you are, really. until you can create something outside of yourself relative to yourself. So, you know, you say, oh, I'll create light. So now that I have light, I can appreciate the darkness because I did not know what light was. I did not know what dark was. It was nothing, right? And our world is like that. We have this duality that we live in. Everything accentuates each other. So what I'm getting with this is that the Great Spirit, I'm going to say the Great Spirit. The Great Spirit in the void had no idea what it was, could not experience itself. So with all its intention, pushed out from itself, this circular, pushed out in all directions, its energy as far as it could push it out. And when you push out in all directions around something, what you get is a sphere, right? You go out in all directions, 360 degrees around you, you get this sphere. So of course, really, you know, there would be no end to it, but there must be. It's, again, getting into that infinity. Is there infinity? Is there not infinity? It's one of those things. Just think of it as like there's infinity, but it's less infinity in all directions. And it's a spherical shape, like the boundary. This is what's known as the first circle, or you can think of it in Genesis as the first day of creation. Okay? So this is the first day of creation. So we have this circle. So then, and then the Great Spirit starts to understand that, hey, you know, I'm starting to really know myself. I'm starting to understand who I am. So I have this space around me. Now we'll imagine that the Spirit's in the center of the circle. The Spirit moves in any direction it wants to the outer edge of the sphere. Or if you think about it in flat space, we're going to call it a circle in flat. Like if it's flat, it's a circle. But in three dimensions, it's a sphere. So the Great Spirit moves out to the farthest edge of the sphere. Now that's at the farthest edge, it repeats the process. It repeats this process and it pushes out its energy as far as it can in all directions. The same exact circle is made. The same circumference of the circle is made. So what you get are these two intersecting circles, but in three dimensions, it's going to be spheres. But we're going to think, whichever you prefer to think about it, if a circle is easier for you to visualize, then you could visualize it as a circle, or if you have a better visualized brain, you can think of it as being a sphere. So these two circles are intersecting. And it's kind of like, have you ever seen a Venn diagram? You know that the Venn diagram you have, you know, like, for example, on one side's boys, the other side's girls, the middle part would be boys and girls. It's that middle part, the and part of the Venn diagram. That's what we're talking about. This shape that's formed is known as the Vesica Pisces. I hope I'm saying it right, but I don't speak Latin, so pretend I said it correctly. Maybe it's Pisces, I don't know. But it's known as the Vesica Pisces, and that spot in the middle, if you were to take that spot and turn it so it's horizontal, it looks like an eye, doesn't it? And that's really interesting because in the beginning, right, there was light that was made. And this light that comes forth from the Vesica Pisces, of course, the language of light. Light was made through this Vesica Pisces. So that's the second motion. So motion is about creation. Creation's motion. Things are moving. If you sit still and you're stagnant, you're not creating anything. You're just sitting there. But as you move through space, as you move the energy, you have to do something to create. It requires action. We could think all we want. We could think, oh, I want this to happen. But until we move, until Spirit moved into the space, then creation occurred. So movement is about creation. So that's the Vesica Pisces through which light was created. Now that this motion of the Spirit moving to the edge of the circle or the sphere happens again. So the Spirit then moves to the edge of the sphere again and forms a new circle. And each time, this happens again and again and again. The third time, what happens is that you get sort of like the Trinity pattern appears. Like, you know, in the Celtic tradition, you get that the Holy Trinity kind of pattern happens. But this happens again and again and again. And on the sixth day, well, the sixth movement, so to speak, is when you get the actual flower pattern. And this pattern is called the Genesis pattern. It's called the Genesis pattern, and it's just six. If you're on the web, you can even type in Google Genesis pattern, but if you look at my website, if you look at the center part of the flower of life, you're going to see the actual flower. That's what's made after all six circles intersect in the same way, okay? And that's where the flower happens. So this pattern then repeats itself again and again and again. You get that, that's the Genesis pattern. Then when it repeats to a certain level of flowers, you get the seed of life, okay? You get the seed of life, and then as it repeats again and again and again, more and more and more, you get what's called the flower of life. So it's just, it goes on and on. And of course, it can go on infinitely, forever and ever, but this is the information, this is what the basics of it is. Now, when you look at the entire flower of life pattern, okay, and that's on my website as well, you might see, you're going to see these blue circles that I drew on there. If you connect the centers of all those circles to the center of every other circle, what you get is this image. It's the second image on my page called Metatron's Cube. Metatron's Cube. Okay? And Metatron's Cube comes directly from the Flower of Life, and it is the basis, the building block of our physical reality. It literally is. Because if depending upon which lines you look at, you can get different solids. There's a cube, and there's a pyramid, and there's different shapes that form. I'm going to talk about that in just a moment. But these shapes, these building blocks, are literally the building blocks of matter. I hope you guys have studied chemistry, because in chemistry, when you get down to the molecular level, especially if you look at crystals, the way that molecules combine form these same patterns, cubic and tetrahedron shapes and so on. So it's really interesting that when you really look at the subatomic particle level of matter, it forms these basic shapes. How does it know how to do that? You know, that's the question that scientists ask. Well, is there an intelligence to it? Of course there is. There's always going to be something. And I think it would be interesting to have a show one day to talk about how science and religion are basically one and the same, searching for the truth, and one is needed to complement the other. I hope you've seen the movie Contact. Contact is a really good movie. Has Jodie Foster in it. Came out late 90s. One of my favorite movies, and it kind of talks about that subject. But we can get off topic. So the Metatron's Cube has what's known as all the platonic solids. So think back to high school geometry. You've heard of this term before, platonic solids. It's not platonic like a platonic relationship, okay? Haha, very funny. Platonic is named after Plato, the great philosopher Plato, who basically said that these basic shapes are the fundamental structure of all that exists. And these solids that are formed, if you're looking at the website, it's the fourth picture that you'll see. There's the five of them. And they have very special properties. Okay? Very, very special properties. One of the properties is that all faces or all sides of the shapes are the same. That's called equilateral. All the edges, that's where two faces meet, are the same length. All the interior angles of the platonic solid are exactly the same throughout the entire shape. That's fascinating to think about it. Of course they're special. They meet all those criteria. But not only that, when you take these shapes and you put them inside a sphere, there's that sphere again, right? The sphere, the great void, everything. The points or the corners of the shape fit perfectly into the sphere and touch the edge of the sphere perfectly. That's known as circumscribing. The sphere will circumscribe these shapes. Fascinating. Now, there's five basic platonic solids. Well, not basic, but they are the platonic solids. We have the cube. Everybody knows what a cube is. You might think it has six faces, so we could also call that a hexahedron because it has six. We have the tetrahedron, which is a pyramid, but it's a triangular pyramid. So there's four faces, and each one is an equilateral triangle. That's tetrahedron. Tetra means four, so it's a four-sided shape. Octahedron. Octahedron is like the tetrahedron, except there's eight faces. So if you can imagine that you have one pyramid pointing up and one pointing down, and it's just one shape. It kind of looks like a diamond. It's like a diamond shape. And there's eight equilateral faces to it. That's the octahedron. You have the icosahedron. The icosahedron, for all my Dungeons and Dragons nerdy friends out there, it's a good thing. Not saying you're bad. I'm a nerd myself. But those 20-sided dice that you play with, that's your icosahedron. We have 20 equilateral triangles that form this shape. Okay? And the last one is called the dodecahedron. Dodecahedron. Dodecahedron is a shape, and it has 12 pentagons. 12 pentagons. And a pentagon is five-shaped figure. All the sides are the same. You might have seen it if you're on my Facebook page. I have a crystal, an amethyst dodecahedron, and it has amazing energy to it. Dodecahedron is one of the shapes that is going to, I feel, propel us into the next era, because there's a lot of research to say that the structure of our universe is a dodecahedron. There is a certain type of sacredness about the figure, the pentagon in itself. A lot of religions, like, you know, the pagan culture and so on, uses the pentagram, which comes directly from the pentagon, because the pentagon repeats itself. If you have a five-pointed star, the middle of that is a pentagon. And then if you connect the vertices, you can create another star. And then if you look in the middle again, you have a pentagon, and it just repeats itself again and again and again. Star, pentagon for infinity, forever and ever and ever. There's an infinite amount of an infinite amount of information within a finite space, and goes on forever. And this dodecahedron, real quick though, we're going to talk about Pythagoras too here today, but the Pythagoreans, which was a group of people in the Greek times that worshipped numbers, it's known that they've had the pentagram symbol on their hand as like their secret meaning symbol. And also, the dodecahedron, which I've just talked about, was considered so sacred that they didn't even mention it. It was so mysterious and so sacred that there is speculation, we can't prove, that if anyone uttered the word dodecahedron, that they would be murdered maybe or disconnected from the group. You know, this is, of course, speculation. We can't prove it, but this is what some of the texts have said. So I've told you the five basic, I keep saying basic, the five platonic solids. Each one is also associated with a particular aspect of reality. The cube is associated with the earth. The tetrahedron is associated with fire. The octahedron is associated with the air. Icosahedron associated with water, and the dodecahedron is associated with ether or spirit. Now, there's one other shape I want to talk about too, and this shape is called the cube octahedron. The cube octahedron is not a platonic solid, but the great geometer Buckminster Fuller, you might have been aware of him or not, maybe not, but he created this shape, and it is the one shape that has perfect equilibrium. Perfect equilibrium is called vector equilibrium, and it is the basis of the three-dimensional flower of life. So we could visualize the flower of life on a piece of paper, flat, but in three dimensions, what shape would that take? It would take a shape of a cube octahedron, which represents perfect equilibrium in all directions. It's really kind of a neat thing. If you're interested in geometry, and especially some of the things that I'm talking about here, whether it's sacred or not, you might want to check out Buckminster Fuller and the Buckminster Fuller Institute. There's so many useful links and cool kind of, there's just cool stuff on the website, so check it out. I highly recommend you check it out. There's also a documentary you can watch. I wrote this down on my paper called Nova by Nova. It's called The Secrets of the Parthenon. We're going to talk about that again. And also on my webpage, there is a movie about sacred geometry. And a lot of the things that I'm talking about today are in this movie. It's like it's a two-hour movie. But it can help you maybe reprocess some of the things that I'm sharing with you right now. Okay? So go back to the dodecahedron. Ether. We might also call ether prana, chi, ka, but the dodecahedron and this ether, I feel, is going to be the source of this zero-point energy we're hearing about. The zero-point energy is just the new wave of evolution and finding the way to pull out from the ethers, from energy, free energy for all of us. And so if you're listening and this is something that you are interested in, perhaps the dodecahedron might be something that you'd like to look into. So I wrote that down for a reason. So we talked about the flower of life, building block of all information. Briefly talked to you about sacred geometry. I want to tell you about when I started getting sacred geometry information. Of course, we know, because we're spiritual people, most of us listening, that everything happens for a reason, and your spirit gives you exactly what you need to know. When I was in geometry class in high school, I loved geometry, absolutely loved geometry, fascinated with it. I loved doing the proofs. I loved like writing on the figures and analyzing it, and it was just so interesting to me. And then I started hearing about this thing called the golden ratio. Maybe you've heard of it. And I thought, the golden ratio, what is that? The Greeks had this notion that there is a particular ratio. And in fact, it's 1.618, which we're going to talk about, that is so visually pleasing to the eye that all their architecture and their art was based upon this particular ratio. The Parthenon is a prime example of that. If you study the Statue of David and some of the proportions that they've used, you will see this 1.618. And I thought, wow, that's really interesting. And I didn't know at the time that I was going to be, you know, really interested in it later. I was like, okay, it's in my back of my mind, no problem. Then I started learning about fractals, and these are my science teacher told me about it. And of course, you get the exact people you need in your life at the right time. I had this teacher for a reason, and this teacher started telling me about fractals, and I'm like, fractals? Fractals are amazing. I mean, this idea that things self-repeating, self-similarity. And it's a huge aspect of computer graphics right now, actually. Again, there's another, Nova has a great documentary you can look up about fractals. It's called Hunting the Hidden Dimension. I highly recommend that. And it talks a little bit about Mandelbrot. Mandelbrot was the scientist who really brought fractals into the mainstream consciousness. We've always known about fractals, but the nice thing about fractals is that for years, when we looked at geometry, we look at it with straight lines and perfect angles, you know, and that's great for analyzing the world that we've created as man, buildings and so on. But if you look at the physical world, you know, everything appears to be chaotic and it has edges and you know, I can easily find the area of a square, length times width, right? But how do I find the area of a cloud or the area of a tree or something? Like, can I write an equation that will describe that? And that's what this fractal geometry has done. It said, hey, we need to change our perception, change the way we think about things, and look at it from this new way of thinking that allows us to look at repetitions and patterns within nature that we see everywhere. And it's propelled us into this new era. The antennas that you have in your cell phones, I don't know if you've ever taken it out, but your antennas are fractals. Maybe you didn't know that. The reason why they're fractals is because the fractal geometry of the structure of your antenna allows you to receive multiple frequencies on one antenna. Think about it. We have Bluetooth. We have, you have your cell, your voice transmission, you have your connection to the internet, and each one of those requires a separate frequency. So you could have a cell phone that has like 20 antennas sticking out of it, right? You don't want that. Or you could have this fractal antenna that's tiny, but it allows you to receive multiple frequencies on one antenna. That's really interesting, I think. And there's so many other uses of fractals. If you watch this documentary, they're using it in cardiology to study heart rhythms. They're saying heart rhythms have a fractal geometry to them. And the structure of an entire rainforest, there's this study they did where they wanted to find out how much carbon dioxide an entire forest had absorbed. They were studying the atmosphere and pollution and so on, right? So they said, they speculated, if I could find out how much carbon dioxide one tree took in, I can write an equation to describe how much carbon dioxide the entire forest took in, because the forest is populated by a fractal geometry. You have, think of it like the way a tree grows. You have the main branch, and then you have little sub-branches that, the main branch, I mean, I'm talking about the trunk. And then you have sub-branches like arms of the tree. And then those branch off into smaller branches, and even smaller branches, and even smaller and smaller. That's fractals happening, right? But the way one tree, the biggest tree in the forest, puts out its branches is the same exact pattern, the same, I can't think of the word I'm looking for. It's not called pattern. It's like where you spread out. I can't think of a spread. I guess you can call it a spread, but that's not the word I'm looking for. It's the same spread of trees, distribution. There we go. That's the word. The same distribution of trees in the forest is compared to one particular tree. That's interesting. Now, what's also interesting is there's sacred geometry involved here. See how I'm tying this together? Because the tree knows exactly how to branch itself out, and there's a pattern that happens. And oftentimes, maybe not in a tree, but in many, many, many plants that are studied, the leaf pattern forms special ratios to each other. And this is known as the Fibonacci sequence. Fibonacci sequence. We're going to do, here's the part of the show where we're going to do a little math. We're going to do a little bit of math. So if you have a calculator and a paper, piece of paper and a pen, you can do this with me. But I want to tell you a little bit about what the Fibonacci sequence is first. So Fibonacci, he was an Italian guy, and he just wanted to study the population of rabbits and how, because rabbits, you know, we hear all the time, rabbits multiply. So what would happen over time when these rabbits multiplied. So we start off with, of course, one rabbit. So you just write down one. And then that rabbit meets another rabbit. So we have 1, 1. And when you add those two together, what do you get? 2. Wow. Can you do that math? I hope so. And then what you do is you take the 2 and you add it to the 1, and you get 3. So you're adding the previous number. This is also known as a recursive sequence. If you study computers, this is recursive. So 3 plus 2 then gives you 5. 5 plus 3 gives you 8. So you can generate this sequence as many times as you want. You can go on forever. But all it took was the first two numbers, 1, 1, to create the sequence. The first two, male, female. Interesting. So we can keep going. We're going to go out. I'm going to go here. So we got 13, and then we got 21, and then 21 plus 30 plus 13. Sorry. That gives us 34, and we're going to keep going here, 55, and then we got 89, and then we're going to get to this magical, mystical number. Oh, my God, you know what it is? 144. Whoa, what? Where have you heard that number before? 144. Don't you know that the numbers that you hear in our sacred text and the Bible and so on are actually really our sacred numbers? 7, 11, 144. 7 comes up a lot, but there's 64. 64 is a great one, too, because 64, there's 64 strands in our DNA. But that's not one of the Fibonacci numbers. But so here's what we're going to do. If you have a calculator, I have a calculator with me. Want to go grab one? Calculator. What math teacher doesn't have a calculator? What we're going to do is we are going to divide the next number into the previous number. So we're going to skip around. So if we do 1 divided by 1, of course, we're going to get 1. We don't need a calculator for that. If we do 2 divided by 1, we get 2. We don't need a calculator for that. 3 divided by 2, we get 1.5. 5 divided by 3, we get 1.66 repeating 6 repeats. It's known as irrational. It repeats itself. Okay, 5 divided by 3. Now we're doing 8 divided by 5, we get 1.6. Now I want you to see what's happening here. We're starting to approach a particular number. In calculus, this is known as approaching a limit. We're actually approaching a number here. Okay, so 8 divided by 5. Now we're going to, what did I do? 13 divided by 8 is 1.625. Okay, we're going to keep going. 21 divided by 13 gives me 1.615. Okay, 34 divided by 21, 1.619. 55 divided by 34 gives us 1.617. I'm truncating to three places, okay? And then we get 89 divided by 55, 1.61818, okay? And then 144 divided by 89, 1.6179. Okay, so we can even go out one more. So if I take 144 and I add 89, I get 233. 233 divided by 144 gives me 1.618. And what would happen if you repeated this a few more times, you can go out as long as far as you want, you would approach this number, this mystical, magical number, which is known as the golden ratio, which is also known as phi, P-H-I, and it's 1.618. It's called the golden ratio. I mentioned it before. They said that it has beautiful mystical properties. But remember at the beginning of the show when I talked about the structure of the universe, the structure of the galaxy, the spiral galaxy? The spiral galaxy is starting to be shown, it branches out at a ratio of 1.618 from the center. And this is also the same pattern you would see in a nautilus spiral. Maybe you've seen those pictures of a nautilus shell, how a nautilus shell, each pattern starts off small and then it gets larger and larger as it goes. There's science to say that the next pattern is exactly 1.618 bigger than the one before. Now, of course, that's on average. I mean, if you pick up a nautilus and you start to measure it, it's unlikely you're going to get exactly 1.618. And that's what people try to shut this down. Oh, it's not true. It's not exactly 1.618, you know. And we're talking on average, okay? Well, I mean, nature tries its best to replicate the instructional blueprint that God has set forth. And you probably, just like we saw with these number patterns, right? It started off with 1 and then 2, 1.5, 1.6. It got closer and closer and closer, approximating to 1.618. That's what happens in nature. Nature tries to approximate this when plants grow and so on. And I said plants grow because there's plants, the way leaves branch out on a plant, it's Fibonacci, one leaf, and then 2, and then 3, and then 5. And some flowers have this same pattern, this spiral shape. You can look this up. This is called the Fibonacci spiral, the logarithmic spiral. You might also see it called the Nautilus spiral. It looks exactly like our galaxy. It's exactly like the galaxy. And there's a lot of information within this. There's so much information within numbers. People study numerology, and they perceive information from numbers. This stuff that I'm giving you, this is sacred stuff. We could define any number I want. I could say, oh, 3? Yep, 3 represents, that's my address. I mean, you know, I can give it any meaning I want. But these are not just randomly assigned numbers. These are things that are found in so many places in the world, in so much parts of nature, universe, and beyond, that is why they are known as sacred geometry. Okay, so that's the Fibonacci sequence. And you may have heard of it before, but it touches on everything we've been talking about. Sacred geometry, it talks about fractals, talks about all this stuff. If you want to find more, too, about the structure of our galaxy and the science behind that, there's a movie called Black Hole, not H-O-L-E, but W-H-O-L-E. by, it's a physicist, his name is Nassim Haramein. He's doing wonderful things out there right now, and he's a leader in this field of sacred geometry, and it's a really good movie. I highly recommend it, so definitely want to check that out. So we talked about the golden ratio. We've also talked about the flower of life. We talked about platonic solids. I want to talk about this thing. I've talked about it on my shows before called the Merkaba. Now, I want to spell it for you because the last time I think people didn't quite get it. It's called M-E-R, mer, like a mermaid, ka, K-A, dash ba, B-A, Merkaba, also known as the human light body. Just like the flower of life, the Merkaba has the same meaning in many different languages. Talked about this before on my show. In Egyptian, the word has a three-part meaning, mer, which is a special kind of light, ka, which represents spirit, and ba, which represents interpreting reality. And as I've mentioned before, all this information I'm giving you is nothing new to you. Everything, all information exists, it's there. It's available for us at our fingertips to pull at any moment we want. We just aren't always aware of it. It's like you have an antenna, but sometimes it's tuned to the wrong frequency, and there's things that can take us off our frequency. Drugs, alcohol, certain ways of thinking can do that to us. But as we activate our DNA, as we, you know, turn off the junk, you know, it's like changing the channel on your TV. You're like, I don't want to watch this killing drama. I want to watch PBS. I want to watch Wayne Dyer talk about, you know, manifestation. You're changing your frequency and you're allowing yourself to receive. And that's really what it is too. It's about allowing yourself to receive, being open to the answers that you do receive. Because we ask for help. I mean, maybe you don't ask for help. If you believe that we're in a world that this is it and there's no help, then that's what you will experience. I mean, that's fine and there's no judgment there. But on the other flip side of that, when you choose to believe that we are love and you choose to believe that our needs are given to us and there's an infinite amount of supply and there's love and joy and peace and all these things, that's what you experience. And thus, in fact, doesn't that prove that your thoughts create your reality? Because if somebody has a thought where, well, there is no such thing as creating your reality, and this is it, when I die, that's the end, and they get that experience, doesn't that prove that that's, you're creating that? Because on the flip side, you have somebody who has experiences, I believe all my needs are met, and I'm going to trust the universe, and they're experiencing that reality. Doesn't that prove it? I mean, I guess proof is a relative term, but it definitely is would show with a high degree of accuracy that that would tend to be true. So another movie about this subject, I keep bringing up all these movies, but What the Bleep Do We Know? It's called What the Bleep Do We Know? And it sort of was an attempt to bridge the gap between science and spirituality again. I think that's a wonderful topic. I just love that topic. And you might find it interesting, and there's lots of useful things that have propelled my consciousness and might help you along the way too. We're all helping each other is what it is. We're all connected. And I talk about this on my show before too. We have individual consciousness, but we have a collective consciousness. And the collective consciousness, if you think of it like a chemical reaction, okay, there's a minimum level of thought required before something takes off and runs with it. We're at this threshold right now where enough of us are at this belief pattern that our world is full of love and peace and we have all these amazing magical experiences that it's taking over and starting to become the new reality for everyone, and we're all awakening like pop 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 pop, like so, like a chemical reaction, an exponential chemical reaction. There's no stopping the chain reaction that's happening right now. And you're a part of that. And I honor your spirit and your soul for doing what you do, whatever that is, whatever your contribution is. I honor and respect you and love you from a deep place within myself. So back to the Merkaba. The Merkaba is, remember that platonic solid, the tetrahedron? The tetrahedron, again, was four sides, and they're all equilateral triangles. And by the way, the tetrahedron is an amazing shape, just in itself. Because if you connect the centers of the faces of a tetrahedron to each other, you know what you get? You get another tetrahedron. It's self-replicating, just like the dodecahedron and the pentagon. Remember I was talking about the pentagon? It repeats itself. The tetrahedron repeats itself again and again. It's called self-dual. Self-dual. It's interesting. A lot of the other platonic solids you can repeat, but it makes a different solid. There's two back and forth that make each other. That's called a dual. But with a tetrahedron, it makes itself. It's like, what? That's amazing. But it makes itself. Just an interesting fact, maybe you did or didn't know that. So the tetrahedron, there's for the Merkaba to happen, you have one tetrahedron that's pointing upwards, and then you have with the apex, the point pointing up, and then if you turn it upside down, and you have the flat side on the top, and the apex pointing down, and you push those together and intersect them in such a way, you get what's called a star tetrahedron. And if you are on my website, I don't know if I have a picture of it. I thought I did. You can look up a star tetrahedron. Actually, I do have a star tetrahedron. It's on my website. Yeah, it's right next to the cube there. It's next to the cube. It's the star tetrahedron. You can see one's pointing up, one's pointing down. And that is a star tetrahedron. That shape, that's called the Merkaba. And that represents your energy field around you, your higher self, your light body, which is the new way of being in this world. That's called the light body. And according to, I'm reading this from the book, The Ancient Secret of the Flower of Life by Drunvalo Melchizedek. I've always talked about this book. But he says that it is a field that's out in front of you, I want to say like at a 55 feet away from you. That's what he says, I think, but I can't remember the exact distance. It's not so important right now to know the distance. That's just like an idea. It's more important that you understand the concept behind it, okay, and what the star tetrahedron is. It's interesting, too, that when you look in biology, when you look at if you studied human reproduction and the development of the embryo, the three-dimensional flower of life is also there within the embryo as well. And connecting the spheres in the embryo also make the star tetrahedron. You have these eight basic cells that are with you for the rest of your life, and that forms your whole entire body. These eight basic cells you can think of as being your star tetrahedron. Because if you take a star tetrahedron and you put it on its side, it actually makes a cube. So eight circles on top of each other makes a cube, but you can connect the centers of the circles to make what's called a Merkaba. Okay? There's a lot of information that I could get at with the Merkaba and what it means, and there's a whole meditation that you can do to activate it and to open it. The fact is that you already have a connection to it. It's just as more of us awaken to this, and I feel like there's some sexual things that might help us in a way. I know it sounds mysterious and maybe not scientific to you, but raising the energy up connects you to that higher part of yourself, okay? And it's interesting, too, in this book, The Secret of Life, there's instructions for an orgasm. Now, that sounds funny, right? Like we need an instruction, but there's supposedly this way of allowing the energy to come up through you and then continue to reverberate back through you again and again and again and again. If you study tantric sex, you kind of know exactly what I'm talking about. It's related. It's related to that. according to Melchizedek, depending upon if you're male or you're female, too, you have a different shape of your Merkaba. You know, I think that's speculation. My personal belief is what feels right for you is what should be right. When I first started reading about the Merkaba, this was about 15 years ago, I was starting to think to myself, what the heck is this? Energy don't have no star tetrahedron shape. What the heck are you talking about? And that was my resistance, but it was also because you fear what you don't understand. Because it's so weird and it's so new. And what you find as you start to open up you start to see things again and again and again, and that's part of your development, your evolution, is that the universe and the angels will show you things at the right time when you're ready to receive them. When the saying goes, when the student is ready, the teacher will appear. And that's the truth. So if you're listening to this right now, I'm sure there's a lot of information that I'm giving you, and it's hard to get into everything, but pay attention to what resonates with you. Pay attention to what comes through, because there's part of you that's awakening. Every time we look at sacred geometry symbols too, it awakens a part of us. And when I did my show last week on Saturday, the sacred geometry readings, the cards that I was drawing for people was helping them to awaken. Some people had a hexagon energy, and some people had a, you know, a pentagon and different things like that. I think it would be interesting right now. I have the sacred geometry deck here. I'm going to just draw a card and see what shape wants to come out. There's a shape that comes out, and this is really interesting. The card that comes out is the Kabbalah and the Tree of Life. Now, that's really interesting because that's actually in the Flower of Life. Okay? All religions are connected to the same source. There's not like one ultimate correct. It's what makes it correct for you. But this Kabbalah comes forth and the Tree of Life, each circle has a particular meaning to it, and it's kind of related to the chakras as well. And if I look at my little guidebook on that, because I don't really know what this card means, to be honest with you, it says, many cultures around the planet hold trees in reverence. If you listen to my show before, you know I love trees. Most cultures, native to forested or jungle environments, have elaborate myths surrounding the power of trees. Some even considered them gods or a means of traveling to the spirit world. Their names are various: the tree of knowledge, the tree of perfection, the world tree, and for the Mayans, it is called raised up sky tree. From mystical Judaism, this card diagrams the tree of life, also called the Kabbalah. It holds instructions for conscious self-exploration. It is the world access within, 10 archetypes, 10 lights. The geometry of the Tree of Life is also encoded within the figure called the Flower of Life, as I've mentioned before. Pulling this card suggests that you are in the process of self-actualizing and growth. You may wish to contemplate this card and the relationships of the diagram. You may decide to research and learn more about the process of the Kabbalah. And the important point is the exploration of self and spirit and your movement towards wholeness. That word movement jumped out at me again, because remember at the beginning when I talked about creation, it was about movement. We cannot create until we move. So we are moving as a planet, as a species, from one way, one reality to another reality, to one level of consciousness to another. You might think of it as dimensions. Some people refer to it as dimensions. We're moving, moving, moving. As we create, we're moving. Motion really is the only thing that's constant, if you think about it. Everything's moving. When you look at your body, your fingernails, for example, they're growing, even though you can't really see them growing. And you might also say change is the only thing that remains the same. That's maybe another way of saying it. The only thing that remains the same is change. Everything's changing. Your body's changing. Your mind's changing. You're constantly processing. And it's wonderful to think that we have all these possibilities ahead of us. And it kind of gets me thinking, too, as we're talking about raising up the realities, in the Chinese culture, they have this thing, the relationship between the circle and the square, and that represents the various realities. So I'm going to kind of get to that here in just a moment. give me just a moment here. This is from the book, also, Ancient Secret of the Flower of Life, and it has various names. Okay, but we want to think of it as, again, levels of consciousness. And what I think is kind of cool, too, is that they say in order to access a level of consciousness, a new level, we have to make a 90-degree turn. When you look at a cube, all the angles that are in the cube is 90 degrees. And the cube represents the most male figure of all the platonic solids, and the cube, the male energy is action. And the sphere, which fits perfectly around the cube, is that female energy. So that's just something that popped into my head I thought I would share with you guys. And, of course, as I try to find this information in this book about levels of consciousness, I am having trouble. So we are going to skip that. But if you watch the movie that I have on my webpage about the sacred geometry, you'll find that there. Just to give you an idea of what I remember from it, picture a circle fitting perfectly inside a square. And it's, again, that's like the sphere fitting inside the cube, right? Picture that, or vice versa. Now, as the square and the circle expand out in various lengths over time, they will come into certain proportions with each other at different levels along the way. Certain levels, certain distances or lengths of the circle and the square will allow a more harmonious existence than others will. Okay, so we are at a time right now where we're at a disharmony in terms of the relationship of the circle to the square, male, female, and consciousness to above consciousness. And as we move into this new dimension or new reality that we're shifting to, it's much more harmonious and the parts fit together much better. So that could be something you might want to research on your own. I am by no means an expert on this subject. I'm sharing with you what I've learned. But remember what I said, all information's there for you. You only need to access it, access your higher self, research for yourself, and know that it's there. And of course, as I learn more, I'm going to continue to share this information with you. Okay, so I think that the main information that I wanted to come across has come across, and I believe that there will be another show about sacred geometry in the future as my knowledge continues to grow and I share with you new ways of seeing things that I've discovered. And I would like to do a sacred geometry tarot reading again with people who are interested in finding out what geometries can help you, what geometries are with you. So we'll do that again soon too. But I want to do a meditation, because Sundays we do meditations. And I was guided to do a sacred geometry meditation with you guys. So I'm going to put on some music, and I'm going to let the angels kind of flow through and the higher selves, that all of us listening. So wherever you are, find a place where you can relax and let this meditation unfold as we do this together, okay? So I'm going to put the music on. All of our energies are connected now. Light, there's a great light around it. Breathe in deeply now. Would you let it out? Let go of what's not working for you. Ask your higher self that any information that needs to come forth right now from this show, from past lives, from future memory. Imagine that we are all holding hands and circling the world, looking down on the planet. We've experienced much trauma. We know that those things are passing. We let it pass through. Let new realities unfold. New earth. New vibration. It's like turning the key. Each time we turn it, a new planet comes into place. And we turn it so many times that it's just the highest vibration of the highest planet we could ever experience. That's why we're here. Now, all of you have in your hand a dodecahedron. hold it above your head and allow the information to come forth along with Archangel Raziel, who is there giving you the mysteries of the Mystery School. Many of us were there in Egypt in the time of the great mystery schools, the Left Eye of Horus. This information is sacred, and it's the time to unfold this, the mysteries within you. Draw a pyramid around you and imagine yourself being in a great golden pyramid, a tetrahedron. And as we connect with the angel and the highest parts of ourselves from the future, pull forth the highest vibration to us right now. Now we're going to imagine that we're all sitting inside our dodecahedron. And it's beautiful, it's amethyst, it's all around us. Look at how beautiful and how much peace you feel as you move to the higher vibration of yourself. Allow all the patterns to unfold in your DNA and in your own body. Your DNA activate. Feel it activating within your DNA. Remembering, moving forth. There's so many ascended beings that are coming forth right now. I can feel the gateways open. And our higher selves are here. The future information is here. It's here now. And it's downloading into the planet, to the core, the very core of the planet. We ask that anything that no longer serves us be released. We ask that anything in the future that we could possibly create that creates fear and sadness is released. And that the highest love and the highest vibration come forth right now. There, our higher selves are there. There is no fear, there is no separation, there is just pure love. Jesus, the great master worker, miracle healer, helps us as well to remember. Feel the great peace you feel within you now as you remember all the things you need to remember. You know who you are and why you're here. As the pieces of the puzzle have gotten just perfect to this point to help you remember divine. As you look to the sky, you see a great bird fly ahead, sign of peace, and a new dawn, and a rainbow. All the beautiful colors of the rainbow now are with us, and we immerse ourselves in it. Beautiful. This time for yourself, breathe, to move forth in the light, and know that all is well with you. Beautiful. I want to thank you guys for listening and for allowing this meditation to come forth. Every meditation is different. Each week I do a meditation, it's what comes forth at the moment. So I was feeling a great pull from our future selves coming forth. Like they're like rushing in like a river, like here we are, poof. And you may have experienced something different, but I would love to hear what you've experienced and what's awakening for you. If you can go to my Facebook page, Ascension Magic, and share and add to the conversation, that'd be great. I would love to know. And if you want to find out anything more about sacred geometry, or if I can help you in some way, definitely let me know too. We have some interesting, well, I'm not going to say interesting. We have beautiful things on the horizon for us, all of us. And we can be assured that our efforts that we're putting forth are going to make a difference. Whatever it is that you do, I want to make a shout out to all the nurses right now that want to come through. They need to know that your work is greatly appreciated. And the teachers of the world as well. You work very hard and effortlessly. Firemen, people who give from self, who do things from a sense of service to humanity. So I want to acknowledge that. I keep also wanting to make light to the dolphins, because the dolphins are really grateful for the work that we have done, and they are peacefully swimming in the ocean right now and transmuting the earth with their energies. And I feel like there's like Atlantis, Lemuria is rising, and maybe not the physical continent, but the energy of that time period is here. And we will not make the same mistakes we made. We are doing this with compassion and with love, and that is the secret. And if you study the flower of life more, you will see that as you move through the different petals, it go to a different reality. And we are moving through into another reality right now. We're already through the portal. And we are there. We are doing it. We are all collectively gathering together. So it's very exciting. Magic is coming forth, and love and peace. And it's like, you know, like the 60s all over again, but this time it's the rest of the world on track, not just one small group of people. It's the entire planet that's going along for the ride. And we're doing such wonderful things. So pay attention to what signs come along. And if you want to listen to the show again, of course, this is a podcast, so you can listen again. You can get information that you maybe didn't get the first time around. Check out the names of the movies that I posted on there. I invite you to follow the show so that you can keep up with new updates that come forth, because there will be some exciting shows coming forth in the future. I also, again, I would love to know, like, what sparked for you. What did you like about the show? What would you like to see on the show? What kind of things would you like me to talk about? I would like to hear that. And I would love to have you guys call in. Call in and add your thoughts to the discussion, and give me your perspective on things so we can learn together. So that would be wonderful. So next week on the show, a week from today, I'm going to be talking about the power of intention, basically the power of words, the vibration that your name has, the vibration of spirit, and so on through words, through vibration. So we're going to be talking about that. Your name has a vibration. You may have not recognized your spirit name, but we have spirit names as well. So some psychics can access your Akashic record by speaking your name. That's something that we all can do that, but some are more skilled than others. So we'll be talking about the power of vibration, power of your words. Saturday, I will be doing romance readings with you. So the romance angels want to come through and give you some advice on relationships, whether past or present, and maybe just the relationship with yourself. So that's exciting. I know Valentine's Day is coming up, so I hope wherever you are in the next week that you're doing something for yourself, for love, and of course for your significant other too, to put some love into the planet and for yourself. Every week I do a show, Saturday and Sunday, 1 p.m. Pacific time. Again, the website, www.ascensionmagic.com. Check me out there. There's also a Facebook link. I definitely look forward to speaking with you in the future. And just know that I send you so much love from the deepest parts of my soul, and that all is well. And we always end with a little bit of love. And yes, if you wonder, this song that you hear in a minute, this is me singing.